So we're on this theme of Jesus is greater. It is somewhat fortuitous because it was framed before the problems that are occurring in the Ukraine really kicked off. But it helps us every day when we recognise that Jesus is greater than world events or world powers and our own circumstances as well. The great truth in all of this is that Jesus is greater and he will return and one day draw a line under all these things. How, we don't know, what it will look like, what it will mean, but there will be some people around who have not died when it happens, everything will be changed. So what we want to do today is to talk about the fact that Jesus is greater than sacrifice. We're going out of sync a bit because I wanted to do Jesus is greater than priests today, but because we were breaking bread together, it was an excellent opportunity do some talking. Now, the thesis behind our breakout groups is partly that it's nice to have some air so that we don't have to sit throughout the talk. But the bigger principle is this. We know already 90% of what we need to know, and there is benefit in talking to one another about it rather than just letting it flow through one ear and out the other. So this morning we've got three questions, and if you'd like to, why don't we do fours and fives today? Get yourselves into groups of about that size, sit as you feel comfortable, and stay where you are, and I'll talk to you. I'll bring the mic round so that we can get some responses as well. So here's the first brainstorming question, and this could go on for quite a while really, because I'm sure you know quite a lot about this stuff. It may take a minute or two to think about it, but here's the question. What do we know about sacrifices in the Old Testament? So get together, fours, fives, smaller groups if you like, but okay, Steve, can you put this mic on for me, please? And we'll start over this side. We'll take about three circuits round, unless it gets really exciting, and we'll add some stuff to it. Okay, we're set. Yep. So over here, something about sacrifices in the Old Testament. What did you get?
The last one we were talking about was the sacrifice after the birth of a child. So
okay.
I can't remember what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
pigeon.
It depended on how much money you'd got.
Exactly.
It could be anything down from. So again?
The last one we were talking about just now was the sacrifice after the birth of a child.
Have you got that? The sacrifice after the birth of a child. Is that coming through? Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But not when you face that way.
Sorry?
It only came through when you were facing that way. It didn't come through.
Okay, I just need to get it closer to the person's mouth. The sacrifice after the birth of a child.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
We had two doves.
You had two doves, which was the same sacrifice. Did you have something extra to add to that?
I'd say two, please. Way of life, it was...
Okay, hang on, just one for the moment.
Oh, okay.
We'll come back again, but tell us what it was.
Just the way, it was a way of life, a rhythm.
Yeah, okay.
Within their patterns of existence.
I knew you were going to say that, because I could read your notes. Hey, what have we got over here?
A sacrifice for atonement and wave offerings and spilling
okay.
of blood.
That was a sacrifice for atonement and wave offerings. He got two in there dead quick. Yeah, what else are you going to add? Because I don't want to keep walking backwards and forwards. You guys can have two at once.
Well, we talked about the fact that as well as sacrifices, there were offerings, yeah. Like wave offerings. But then we came out of the Old Testament and talked about love offerings, sacrifices we make for those we love, which is not in the Old Testament, but very important.
Okay. Meanwhile, back at the questions.
Yeah.
Have you got a second thing to add in there?
They had to be perfect.
They had to be perfect, yeah. That was quite important. that you didn't take any old rubbish for a sacrifice. Okay, we come back again for a third one. Let's go back the way we came.
Sacrifice of the red heifer.
The sacrifice, you'll have to tell us about that one.
I don't think I can without researching it again.
There was there were special and exceptional sacrifices, yeah, that happened. Okay, what else we got in this group?
We had the rhythm of old reflecting the new, so Isaac with Abraham, him making the sacrifice, and then it obviously replicating the heavenly Jesus sacrifice in the new.
It makes an important point that sacrifices happened before the law instituted them. It wasn't that they were invented with the law. Anything else over in this group? Nigel's been pointed at.
Okay. They were frequently bloody, and we did also notice that most of them involved fire, apart from the one that didn't, it did.
Okay. Was there another thing from this group which would make your third contribution?
Yeah, there was a recognition that the Bible does talk about sacrifices that were not just God's sacrifices, they were the heathen or blessed.
There were other sacrifices,
human action sacrifices.
Yeah, okay.
We talked about the first sacrifice, the sacrifice of Cain and Abel, and the issues that then arose out of that.
Okay, the first sacrifice by Cain and Abel, that was the first human sacrifice. Remember that just before that, God had slaughtered an animal as well. So that was in Genesis chapter 4. One more thing from this group.
We've got, even in the Psalms, it says you desire mercy and good acts rather than sacrifice, okay. Paraphrasing wildly.
We'll actually have a look at that point later on, hopefully. One final thing from you guys. Linda.
I think it had to be the perfect sacrifice. Yeah. And the perfect sacrifice was Jesus Christ.
Okay. So, one more thing from this group. Oh, no, we've got that, didn't we? So that's good for now. We'll have a little think about that. So there's lots of detailed knowledge you guys have got there. Just a reminder, just a promotion that I did talk last week about getting the Bible app on your phones. The details are on the Facebook group because there's lots of useful stuff. And during this week, I think, referred to three of the videos on there. Just to add to what I knew and to check what I knew, just playing a little clip from here, which sort of indicated to me that if you get into this, it doesn't give you all the detail. It certainly doesn't mention red heifers. And because it tries to deal with the book as it stands, it talks about what is actually in the book at that particular point. And one of the things it does is that it looks at the book of Leviticus and says about the fact that you get this sort of whole cycle, because there are these rituals of sacrifice, there are priests, there's purity. And right in the middle of the book, it talks about this special Day of Atonement, the big sacrifice of the year, and goes all the way round. Now, let's see if I can manage to do this.
To this covenant. Let's dive into the book. The first section explores the five main types of ritual sacrifices that Israel was to perform. Two of these were ways that an Israelite could say thank you to God by offering back to God these symbolic tokens of what God has first given them. Three other sacrifices were different ways of saying sorry to God. So here an Israelite would offer up the lifeblood of an animal while confessing that their sin has created more evil and death in God's good world. But instead of destroying this person, God, of course, wants to forgive them. And so this animal symbolically dies in their place and atones, which means it covers for their sin. And so through these rituals, the Israelites were constantly being reminded of God's grace, but also of his justice and of the seriousness of their evil and its consequence.
So that's all it says, because there's only 8 minutes on each book, but it does give us that extra information. There were grain offerings and there were fellowship offerings. And actually, of course, there was only one offering where the animal was burnt into non-existence, and that was the burnt offering, which was a special offering. But people would bring small gifts. They would bring thanksgiving gifts. And just in case, you get the idea that the whole of Leviticus was all about this heavy stuff of having to sacrifice animals and give up this and give up that. There's a whole section in Leviticus, a big section, about holidays. They had holidays specified throughout the year. In fact, there was one point at which they had this principle, of course, in life. There had to be one day off from cooking and getting food ready and cleaning. There was always that. There was Shabbat, which exists in so many families. It's surprising how often it comes up on TV. We were watching that that program recently. What was the one about the inside of people's bodies where they create? Yeah, they're doing virtual creations of people's conditions that they need treatment. And there was one family there that were an observant Jewish family. And you could see how Shabbat, how the Sabbath was just such a big part of what they did. They took time off. And there's a whole lot of taking times off towards the latter end of the book of Leviticus. So that's just a thing here. Now, so here's the next question for you guys. Right, now you can get in the New Testament and you can drive down to some detail. But think of three or four ways in which the Lord's Supper connects with Old Testament sacrifice. Three or four ways in which the Lord's Supper connects with Old Testament sacrifice. Okay, we're down the back, seeing what these guys have got. Right, got everybody's attention here.
The bread and the wine, we thought, was to do with the bloods.
Okay, let's
blood offering. And the body of the animals that were sacrificed being the bread.
Yeah, being broken. So hopefully most people will have got that one, but we'll come back and see what else you guys have got. What did we get over here?
Okay. It was the ultimate sacrifice.
The ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, being total atonement with Jesus.
And, you were saying something. Sorry, I didn't mean to smack you in the mouth. Say again.
I don't know what it was. I'm sorry.
I think you were saying the final sacrifice, weren't you?
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, we did say
ultimate,
that.
Final.
Yeah, the final. Yeah. Complete.
Yeah, complete. Anything else from you guys to add in?
The Lord's Supper is a reminder. The Lord's Supper isn't a sacrifice in itself. It's reminding us of the story of Jesus' sacrifice.
Yeah. So it's a reminder, it specifically says that, doesn't it? Anything from over here to add? They've covered the ground, really, I think.
Yeah. No, we'll get the other three.
We have four items to add.
Oh, one at a time.
One of them should have been done because of all
your
life.
Yeah.
Which was? Okay. Purity. The sacrifice had to be pure.
Yeah.
Substitution, that's...
Hang on. Well, actually, we haven't specifically spoken about substitution.
Well, it's a connection with the animal dying because the animal was substitution for the person. And in the same way, the blood and the wine is a substitution for the person.
Yeah.
Do you want the other two as well?
No, not that. I'll come back. Give other people. Anything else from over here? This group? No, that was it. Anything from here?
Sorry. Me shaking my head. Dawn had something.
Dawn?
I was just saying, by getting together... to do the breaking of bread, it's a a fellowship offering in that we come together, and it's not something done individually.
Okay, that's a real good bolt on. That's something extra there. What about over in this group? Simon, any more?
The political issues around eating meat that had been sacrificed to other animals, to other gods, sorry.
How does that fit in with breaking bread? I know you popped out, but
I popped out. I thought we were talking about sacrifice within the New Testament.
No,
so.
Particularly with the Lord's Supper. Yeah, the final sacrifice. Yeah,
it's just occurred to me. It's the Passover. They were celebrating the Passover, yeah, which they'd done for centuries. Yeah.
Okay, we actually haven't got scheduled to mention the Passover. But let's see these other things that Rachel had got. But you add your things in and then we'll
okay. Stop. One was that it was repeating.
Right.
Like the seasonal thing. And the other was that it was compulsory.
It was compulsory, yeah. It's one of the few things we're told to do as part of our meetings together. I pointed at the speaker. Yeah. Now, we could read a ton of stuff out of Hebrews, and we could read chapters 8 to 10, right up to where we started our previous set of studies. But I just want to take a little passage out, just a small passage, which refers back to this business of being in the wilderness and Moses, and of course, In the wilderness, there was one place you could go to get the presence of God. You had to go to the tent of meeting. That's where God resided. And when things were really going bad, they weren't allowed into God's presence because God was holy. Now, the word holy is a simple word. It just means unique or special. So because God is holy, the area around him is holy, which was what all that mountain stuff was about. You remember, we've read it a couple of times, didn't have time today to read it, but in Hebrews 12, about the fact that at that mountain, if an animal touched it, the animal had to be killed, right? And they were told not to come near the mountain. So what I want to, we're talking a bit about the tent. The tent in which Christ serves is greater and more perfect. It is not a tent made by human hands. That is, it is not part of this created world. When Christ went through the tent and entered once for all into the most holy place, he did not take the blood of goats and bulls to offer as a sacrifice. Rather, he took his own blood and obtained eternal salvation for us. I think this is a blinding story, an amazing story. The idea, of course, of, we mustn't deal with high priests because we won't do that next week. But the fact that when Jesus died, the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom. That nobody could keep people. It wasn't torn from the bottom to the top. It was torn from the top to the bottom. And that place that only once a year, under the most rigorous and holy circumstances, with fantastic routines of preparation, the priest could go in to sprinkle blood at the mercy seat, is suddenly accessible to us. And you know, I don't know who did it or how they did it, but somebody sewed that thing up afterwards so that the ritual services could carry on, at least until AD 70, when the whole lot got caved in, when Titus attacked the Jerusalem. But we keep on doing this. We keep on sewing it up. And we sew it up in all sorts of ways. We sew it up every time we say, oh, I'm rubbish. Yeah? I can't come to God. Okay? We sew it up every time we say, because we can't cope with it, because we can't cope with the death of Jesus, we say, I'm rubbish, but God forgives me. So sin isn't really very important. Yeah? Do you ever get that dynamic happening? If wickedness is as bad as I feel it is, then that is something which is massive. Right? We find it easy to stack up particular sins which we are not implicated and say this is the bad stuff. And so as we come to gather together, we have to say to ourselves that envy doesn't matter, that bitterness doesn't matter, right? We have to say that unbelief doesn't matter. And yet all those things are deadly serious in the Bible, because if we say that they matter, then we have to take the breaking of bread fantastically seriously. Right? It becomes really important. And unless we say that they matter, it's not surprising we think we're rubbish, because we don't rate the death of Jesus. Okay? If we think our sins don't matter, we don't rate the death of Jesus. Oh, that's just me. I'm just human. No. That's sin. And the forgiveness of sin is what it's all about. That kids' song that we sang, I'm special because God has loved me, for he gave the best thing that he had to save me. His own son, Jesus, crucified to take the place for all the bad things, not you have done, but I have done. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much. I know I don't deserve anything. Help me feel your love right now and know deep in my heart that I'm your special friend. Okay. Through the eternal spirit, Jesus offered himself as a perfect, you've talked about that, sacrifice to God. His blood will purify our consciences from useless rituals, so that we may serve the living God. You've got to remember that there's a real anti-ritual thing in Hebrews, because these Christians had had a bad time. And when you have a bad time, going through the motions, going through rituals, makes you feel more comfortable. And so rather than living a faith-filled existence, they were going back to the routines. They wanted to go back to the routines, which is why it takes such a strong line there. Okay, one more question for you, and I hope you feel good about talking about this. Yeah, you've talked about it a bit, but spell it out to one another again. Three ways in which the sacrifice of Jesus improves on Old Testament sacrifice. Can you do that? Just three ways in which the, and I'm going to stand at the front, get you to shout it out and repeat it for the sake of the recording. Fed up with walking around. How does the sacrifice of Jesus improve on Old Testament sacrifice? You may have said it before, doesn't help, doesn't hurt to say it again. Okay, let's get the feedback now. So, can somebody shout out one way in which the sacrifice of Jesus improve on Old Testament sacrifice? This group, please.
It's personal.
It's personal. What do you mean by that?
Anybody. It isn't a priest going in.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's changed the dynamic. We're in there. That whole thing about kingdom of priests is built into that. This group. One thing. Improvement.
It covered everyone.
Yeah. Lovely story there that I think it's one of those fantastic, so many fantastic stories. You remember when the angel of death passed over the nation of Egypt, the thing that made the difference was that there was a lamb for a house, and the blood of the lamb was put over the door, and everybody had to be inside. Unless you were inside, you could be in real trouble. And you could just imagine those families where they had a stroppy eldest son who wanted to go out. They were saying, you've got to be inside tonight, boy. Why? I don't see why I should be inside. I want to go out and I want to see my friends. And you can bet that there were exceptions to the rule. And the wailing that was heard in the Egyptian houses was only avoided because they were under the blood. Yeah? Amazing stories that we don't tell very often now. Another one from over here, how the death of Jesus, how the sacrifice of Jesus improved in the Old Testament. Anything to add?
Similar to the last one, but
yeah?
Slightly just different. Accessible to everyone.
Accessible, yeah. Over the back, let's just take one and we'll...
Once and for all.
And we're just going to read a little bit about that.
David, it should also be immediate in the sense that if you'd sinned in Old Testament times, you had to get your thingy, go up to the temple.
Yeah.
Whereas if you recognise, you can talk to God now.
Did you get that? The fact that it happens immediately. You had to wait until you could go through the sacrifice process. And of course, there were things that were missed. Right? And that's what the Day of Atonement was for, that special time when there were two goats, one of which was slaughtered. What happened to the other one? It was the scapegoat. It was excluded and sent away. It was separated from the people because of sin. It embodied the notion that sin separates us from a holy God. Okay, so let me just read this and we'll finish with this one. We need another week. I think we may be able to find it to talk about the fact of covenant as well. But this is the thing that Roy was talking about. Every Jewish priest performs his services every day and offers the same sacrifice many times. But those sacrifices can never take away sins. Okay, I thought they took away sins. No, they covered sins. They were a covering for sins. Okay? Christ, however, offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is, and we've said it this morning, effective forever. And then he sat down at the right hand of God. There he now waits until God puts his enemies as a footstool under his feet. That's why, where that came from yesterday afternoon. Yeah. My wife was talking to our eldest son who was complaining that his new furniture does not have those things that come out and stick out in front of you and trip people over. Yeah? What are they called?
Recliners.
Oh, they're not recliners. Okay. That's because my son is very old and needs that sort of chair. But I said to Wendy, I said, you've got to tell him that he doesn't need to worry because he just needs enemies, because there's a day coming when that's where you're going to get your footstool from, guys. Interesting picture, isn't it? That God's enemies will become his footstool. He'll stick his feet up on them. Yeah. Anyway, there he now waits. With one sacrifice, then, he has made perfect forever those who are purified from sin. I would love us to go backwards and forwards about this because we need to. Because how can we be pure when we keep on sinning? And we know we do. How does that happen? We keep on getting washed with the blood. It's there. It's effective. We know that our future is assured because of the blood of Jesus. Missed out the next reading, and just let me read this, which of course you know, and we'll read this and then we'll pray. I'm not going to comment on it. This is the book of 1 John. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. He is totally holy. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Hope you know that off by heart. It's a real help if you do. Try reading that, 1 John 1:5 to 10. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, if we agree with God about our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. If we walk in the light, if we let the light shine on us, we have fellowship, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Guys, I feel as though I have never yet got as excited about that as he's merited. Yeah? That is amazing. Everything I've ever done wrong, everything I ever will do wrong, is not only covered by the blood, it's been dealt with. And that is amazing. And that makes us very special. And it is so fantastic. I don't know about you, but I would so like everybody who I know to know that, so that the blood of Jesus is effective in their lives as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the way you work this out, that your Holy Spirit brought about the conception and life of your son as a baby, even though he'd been there from the beginning, and that over those 33 years, it was anticipated the death that he would suffer. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. We know we don't deserve it. Lord, we would like to know that that truth was continuously dropping from our head to our heart, so we lived with gratefulness and assurance that marked our time in the world. Lord, please let it be from here on. Amen. Amen.